The glow of the sun appears above the Earth's curved surface. The Earth and the moon rest among a layer of clouds and stars. A lion-shaped constellation shines at the center of the universe. Reflective silver letters float among clouds, Lionsgate. The sun shines through the letters. A radar light scans a black and bronze globe. The continents meld together into a square. The radar reveals outline letters, DCM. The radar cuts a sliver out of the square. An explosion of blue fragments in a supernova. Three squares spin and land in place. BBC Films. A light flickers on. A middle-aged man looks at his reflection in a magnified mirror.
Anyway, to cut a long story short, I decided to kill myself.
Handwritten letters write, Martin.
That's the trouble with suicides, I've learned. You can't cut the long story short, because it's the long story that people are interested in. Especially if you're me, which, regrettably, I was, and still am to this day. So, forgive me if you already knew this, but I'm Martin Sharp, the man who had everything. One wife, two children, three dogs, at least four People's Choice Awards, and five mornings a week on the most successful breakfast show in Britain. They were even offering me Mondays off.
Martin carries a ladder.
So far, so good. I had reached middle-aged, unscathed, with money in the bank. Until I met Susie Jenkins at a launch for a new men's moisturizer. All I can say in my defense, Your Honor, is that she looked 25 to me. But she wasn't.
He struggles to enter an elevator.
Cue, in chronological order. Tabloid frenzy, a short prison sentence, divorce, disgrace, demolition.
Doors closing.
He walks upstairs.
New Year's Eve is supposed to be a pause for breath, a punctuation mark. Well, I had come to a full stop. Really? Why wouldn't I want to throw myself off the top of a tall building?
Martin reaches the top floor of the building with the ladder. He pauses in front of a red door marked Access Prohibited. He opens it. He walks through a dark, deserted hall. He props the ladder against a spike fence, across a gap on the roof. He hesitates, then slowly makes his way across. He gulps and looks ahead as he walks, barely glancing down. He stops at the edge. He looks out at the skyline of the city, with St. Paul's Cathedral illuminated in white. He holds out his arms, silhouetted by the city's lights. Below him, multiple roads connect at a roundabout. Shaking, he lowers his arms and reaches into his suit pocket. He lights a cigar. Screenplay by Jack Thorne, produced by Finola Dwyer and Amanda Posey, directed by Pascal Chamé.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Wide-eyed Martin turns. A middle-aged woman waves from the door.
I'm not entirely sure how to phrase this, but, are you going to be long?
What?
I wasn't sure whether to wait my turn or... I hadn't considered the wire. I'd really like to borrow your ladder. Maybe I should just wait. I'll wait.
You're just going to stand there and watch?
No. No, of course. You'll be wanting to do it on your own, I'd imagine.
Imagine right.
I'll go there.
She goes to a corner of the roof. Martin faces the city.
I'll give you a shout on the way down.
Right.
Martin scrunches his face. He puts the cigar in his mouth. It tumbles down to the city below. A truck flattens it. A title appears. A long way down, the letters blow away with the smoke. Martin stares down.
I can't.
He looks at the woman.
Maybe you should go first.
I wouldn't want to be on my own. Completely.
Understood. 20 minutes. Then I want my spot back.
She looks down.
Right.
Okay. He crouches slightly. The woman steps forward. The ladder shifts forward to the edge.
What? Oh!
Martin kneels, stabilizing it. He crawls back from the edge. He stands and faces the woman. She holds out her hand.
Maureen.
He takes it.
Martin.
He continues shaking her hand.
Are you from... Oh, I recognize your face.
Oh, do you?
Were you married to someone in a pop group?
No.
Were you on TV?
Maureen. Perhaps this is not the best time to talk about this.
She nods. Their heads jerk to the door. A young woman with runny makeup steps out. She sprints to them.
Out of my way, fucker!
No, stop, sir!
Martin catches her.
What do you want me to do?
You're getting a thrill out of this, aren't you, pervert?
Oh, my God. You're Martin Sharp.
You are a pervert. Officially.
That's it. Rise and shine with Martin and Penny.
Let me go.
Martin stands. The young woman leaps up. He holds her back. The three look to the door. A young man in a bike helmet waves.
Hi.
He takes off the helmet.
Can you guys order a pizza?
He holds up a pizza delivery bag.
Should we do introductions?
The young woman sits.
I'm Jess. Everyone calls me Jess.
I'm Maureen.
I'm JJ.
I'm...
Martin Sharp.
Yes.
It's very exciting to have a celebrity in our suicidal midst.
This feels wrong.
All right, well, we could just do a 1, 2, 3, jump!
Jess bolts to the edge. Maureen blocks her. Martin pushes the ladder off.
What?
I wouldn't have minded if it had been the proverbial cry for help, but believe me, you don't cart a ladder up 15 flights of stairs on a freezing cold New Year's Eve unless you're serious.
Nice to meet you.
Martin strides away.
It was just another debacle, another cock-up. I'd have believed you if you'd told me half an hour before that I'd end up on my carp, but not in it.
Rain pours on the windshield. Martin rubs his face.
And I absolutely knew, with every fiber of my being, that I wouldn't be seeing any of those freaks and misfits again. I didn't know what they were doing up there, and I didn't want to find out, thank you very much. I had no interest whatsoever.
He drives by Maureen, holding a bag over her head. He stops.
Oh, fuck. Do I regret stopping to pick her up? Well, that really is a long story.
He reverses next to her and opens the door.
Want a lift?
No. The bus will be along in 15 minutes.
Get in the car, Maureen.
She nods and gets in.
I did like your television show.
Martin presses his lips together and nods. Maureen pats her face dry. They look out the window. On a corner, JJ tries to start a motorcycle. Martin stops the car and leans back. Jess, wearing tights and a sparkly dress, walks in the middle of a street. Cars swerve around her. Martin pulls up beside her.
What are you doing? The car, we're taking you home.
She gets in the back with JJ. Martin takes off.
So this is jolly.
Okay. One word answers. Everyone has one word to explain why they were up on the roof in the first place. For example, Martin might say notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
Maureen might say loneliness.
I'm not lonely.
Tell that to your cats.
I don't have cats.
I was up there because I felt helpless.
Helpless? It's a very good adjective.
Are we not fitting into your preordained boxes, Jess?
Actually, you fill your one marvellously, Martin. Was prison fun?
You really believe you have an answer for everything, don't you?
I really believe that you are a miserable bastard.
Yeah. Actually, right now, a miserable bastard is exactly what I am. Have I not been hiding it well?
Pizza boy.
KJ.
Why might Pizza Boy want to die?
What would be your reason, Jess?
My reason would be love. Chaz. Chaz the dickhead. He spurned me. I'm a spurned woman.
Cancer.
They look at JJ.
I was up there because I have cancer. I have inoperable cancer.
We have a winner! It's fucking brilliant. Very impressed. Is it embarrassing cancer?
Brain. CCR.
Sorry, JJ.
Yeah. Colon would have been better. Oh, we're here.
Martin pulls over. Young adults rush to a building.
Oh, here? We live here?
No, but Chaz is likely to be here. And I've got a couple of things that I want to say to him.
Jess crawls over JJ and gets out.
Good luck with your next attempt. See you in the afterlife.
Yeah, good night.
Martin drives off. Jess stares up at the building. She pulls a tiara from her coat and puts it on her rain-soaked hair. She runs toward a graffitied entrance.
Unhappy little thing, isn't she?
I should have known. The most popular place in London for suicides on the most popular night for suicides. I should have known. I wouldn't be alone.
Don't know why she thought I have cats. She certainly swears too much, but...
Maureen shrugs.
Go on, Maureen. Just say.
I just... Should you be alone?
JJ leans his head back. Inside the club, Martin, Maureen, and JJ make their way down a corridor with dim red lights to a packed dance floor. Maureen holds her hands over her ears. They look around.
Marv, you go that way,
no,
I'll go.
No, I'll go this way.
What else are we gonna do? And Maureen, you take the bathrooms? Get bathrooms. Get go.
JJ takes off. Martin walks away. Maureen wrings her hands.
I'm looking for a girl called Jess. Jess?
A woman shakes her head. Martin squints at the young women dancing around him.
I'm looking for a girl called Jess.
The dancers ignore him. He looks around from the middle of the dance floor at the mass of people. He goes to a couch and sits. A tattooed woman beside him smiles. She puts her hand on his face.
I'm looking for a girl. Jess.
Martin looks away. The woman's head slumps on his shoulder.
Good.
Breathing heavily, Martin watches people gather together around him. He tries to push the woman's head off. He stands and darts through the crowd. He reaches a patio. Fireworks illuminate his face. People run past him. He leans against a pillar. He turns and sees a young man sitting on stairs. He waves.
Hi. You're hiding too, are you?
Yeah. I've taken some pills. It's all good. What are you hiding from?
Oh, you know. Humans, humanity, life. You?
The nutter who's trying to kill me.
Your reason's better than mine, then. And where is this nutter?
She's everywhere.
Oh. Godlike, is she?
I was just hoping I was having a bad pill. But she's not supposed to be here. I'm pretty sure I've just seen her. I'm pretty sure I've seen you on breakfast TV, so maybe I'm actually having a good pill. And
you're Chaz, aren't you?
How'd you know that?
I'm here with the...
Martin raises his brows.
Nutter.
Chaz jumps up.
Just wait. Listen to me, listen. Let's just... go find her together, huh? I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
She tried to kill me twice, got me arrested once. I'm banned from 3 pubs, 2 clubs, and a cinema.
Okay.
Just let me leave quietly.
All right. Okay.
I've done nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong?
Taking her to bed. Nothing wrong.
Where is she? Where's Jess? We need to find her. You need to talk to her.
She won't talk. She was chasing me with a bread knife.
Oh, and tonight she was prepared to end her life because of what you did to her.
Maureen, don't.
Liz?
Yeah, that's where we met her, at the top of a tower block, preparing to...
What? Hey! It's Jess. Come on.
At a hospital.
How's she doing?
Paramedics roll Jess on a gurney. Jess.
Do you know what she took?
I don't know. Drugs, alcohol, you know, the
Are
usual.
You her father?
No, I'm not.
Next of kin.
No, I'm not.
I need to know her name.
I only, she's called Jess.
Sir, I need her full name.
None of us knew her before tonight. Hey.
You need to wait here.
They take Jess away.
She's got no identification on her, no nothing.
Yeah, well, she probably didn't want to make her identification easy. She likes things, you know, difficult.
Hospitals, not a fan. Good drugs, though.
They roll their eyes at Chas. Later, they pace outside. Martin lights a cigar. Martin smokes beside JJ. He offers the cigar. JJ takes it. Maureen slowly walks toward them. JJ passes her the cigar. She stares at it. She hands it back to Martin.
You late for something?
I just need to make sure I'm home to make Matty some breakfast.
Matty?
My son?
You have a son?
Yes. Breakfast is quite complicated. I don't... look, if I'm not going to die tonight, it's important that he doesn't know anything that happened.
Here she comes.
Jess walks out in a dressing gown and no shoes. She poses with a grin.
Oh, boy.
Okay. It's got a few things... to clarify, number one, my gown's open-backed because they've stolen my clothes. So I'm just going to do a twirl for you right now and you can have a look at my arse. Just once. It's not my best feature, but that's something that you'll probably find out the more we get to know one another. Number two, it wasn't an overdose. It was just an accident.
Jess.
Honestly, I took all these pills and then I took some more, but it was just for fun. Like, I'd never kill myself by taking pills. I'd probably do something really cool, like jumping off the top of a tower block.
Jess, we were worried.
Was I a number three or number... I think I was a number four. I just wanted to say thank you so much for caring, because I really, really appreciate it.
He was worried. I was trying to work out what we were still doing here.
Then number five. I think I was on number... Six. Fuck. Is it just me? Because It's really fucking cold out here, guys. It's really cold.
Come here.
Martin puts his suit jacket on her. Maureen wraps on her scarf.
Come on in. Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
They guide her inside. Later, Martin holds drinks and snacks. He looks at the three sitting beside each other in the waiting room. He walks over and hands them each one.
Thanks.
When is the next date after New Year's Eve when everybody kills themselves?
Why?
Valentine's Day.
That's 6 weeks away. Okay, here's the deal. Nobody kills themselves until then.
Why? I mean, why would we want to do that? Why would we not want to kill ourselves if and when and how we want, huh?
Come on, what's the alternative? It's some sort of race to the finish. It's me checking the obituaries every week to see if Martin Sharp is dead. No offense, guys, but I don't think your deaths would really make the papers. Come on, 6 weeks.
It's not such a ridiculous idea.
Yes, Maureen. Has anybody got a pen? Can I have some paper as well?
Paper.
Great, thanks. The undersigned do hereby promise not to kill themselves before Valentine's Day. Maureen, sign just wherever you like.
Maureen glances at Martin and signs. Jess hands the paper to JJ.
Pizza boy.
Buzz.
You're dying anyway.
He takes the paper and signs.
Martin Sharp. Lifesaver. Superman.
She holds out the paper.
6 weeks, Martin. We'll all push you off the top ourselves if it makes any difference. Could be a little Valentine's Day treat.
Pretty sure we're all going to live to regret this.
Martin signs. JJ looks up as a golden light shines on them.
Guys, look.
Through the windows ahead, the sun rises over the city.
So this is a new year then.
Jess looks down at the paper.
Hang on, Maureen, just a fucking question here. Have we just written our pact on the back of your suicide note?
No. Yes, there is that.
Martin smiles at the group. Jess's fingers are painted different colors. She dips one into lip balm. A handwritten Jess appears.
My mom always likes to repeat this story of me as a kid, being asked what I wanted to be when I grew up. I always used to say, invisible.
She ducks her head.
I don't know quite what prompted it, but the thought of it stuck with me.
She watches a group.
It was only later that I found out that invisibility is in fact a technical possibility.
She ignores a call from Dad.
It was in this book that my sister stole from the library, and I stole from my sister. I followed her into crime, though she was better at it than me. She always sort of glowed innocence, whereas I, to this day, just sort of radiate guilt.
She follows JJ.
Anyway, to be invisible is easy. You just have to find a way to diffract light.
A car stops short of her.
You trying to get yourself killed?
She flashes her bra.
I haven't managed it yet, but I'm working on it.
JJ enters a music shop.
I didn't just follow him. I followed all of them. And it wasn't stalking. You stalk a deer in order to kill it, mount it, stick it on your wall and tell the story of how fucking brilliant you are with a shotgun. I didn't want to kill any of them. I certainly didn't have any interest in mounting them. And I don't own a shotgun, though I'd like one. I just wanted to check in, invisibly, to check that they were sticking to the pact. That's not stalking. It's barely even espionage.
Okay. Now I know why you're ringing.
She sees a newspaper headline, TV's Martin Sharp in suicide bid. With politician's daughter, she sneaks up on a man.
Pink flamingos fly north on Tuesday.
Hello, Jess.
This is a top spy location, Dad. It's hugely inconspicuous.
In front of Big Ben.
Look, this is a situation. I've invited a...
A situation is what you're referring to it as.
How else would you refer to it?
I don't know, Dad.
She looks away.
Well, you did what you did.
Yeah, I tried to kill myself.
Jess, please don't put words in my mouth. This is hard enough.
Is it, Dad?
Yes.
Why are we doing this here? Why can't we just do this at home?
Because the press will be there, and I'm trying to protect you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've always been really great at that, haven't you?
Martin approaches.
What the hell are you doing here?
I was invited.
You were invited?
Politician's daughter. Oh, what a surprise.
I called his agent. I thought we should
you
all
called
talk.
His agent?
Yes. He was delighted. First call he'd had in a while. Was it you who went to the press?
No. I've been trying to figure it out myself.
JJ?
He's too shy. It's not Maureen.
No.
Her eyes widen.
Hey, it was fucking Chaz. Chaz sold us.
My ex-wife rang this morning. Wanted to know what I'd done. Asking me what she should tell the children.
Oh, I'm gonna fucking kill him.
She told me I seem to be the only person in the whole world that the press gets bang on. If they say I've slept with a 15-year-old, I generally have. If they say I've contemplated suicide, I generally have.
Yes, I read about you with the girl.
His eyes dart between Martin and Jess.
You haven't... You two are...
You're asking
Jesus,
whether we've slept
really,
together.
Really?
Martin, at least I'm legal.
Yeah, and I value our friendship too much to complicate it.
Do you plan to maintain your relationship with Jess?
Yeah, of course you will. We're in a gang.
We're not in a gang.
Yeah, you signed a pact.
Oh, yes, of course, the pact. How could I forget? Yeah, Jess and I are friends for life now.
Now, look, Martin... I'm sure I don't have to tell someone with your media training that what we have here is a media firestorm.
Yes, gentlemen, this is a media firestorm. I'll leave you to it.
Jess!
Why don't you invite him to our family therapy? You could do that. Why don't you pay him to be you, Dad?
Martin doesn't want my money.
Jess storms off.
You don't do it.
Has anyone ever told you you're a bit of an idiot?
I'm a politician. That's all they ever tell me. All right.
Yep.
They shake hands.
Good luck.
Yep.
Jess's father leaves. Jess rushes through a tunnel with her head down. In front of her house, she pushes her way through a crowd of reporters. She looks down at her feet as she walks.
This is the second tragedy for the Crichton family after the disappearance of older sister Jennifer 2 years ago. Jennifer was never found, and you have to wonder how Shadow Education Secretary Chris Crichton will cope with this new strain upon him.
Jess slams the front door on the press. Jess lies on a bed beside a framed photo of a young woman.
Tragedy. When the feeling's wrong and you can't go on, it's tragedy. When the morning cries and you don't know why it's hard to bear. With no one to love you, you're going nowhere. Ba 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 ba. Tragedy.
Jess! Can I come in?
Jess sits up.
Should I come in, Jess?
She strides across the room. Her father, Chris, enters and looks around.
Where have you gone now?
He looks out the window, left ajar. He pokes his head out to the rooftop.
Jess?
Chris steps back and looks around Jess's cluttered room. He sits on her bed. Jess sits cross-legged on a rooftop.
I am lost in a rainbow.
She looks over the edge. The reporters mill around the house.
Scorn, overcast.
She presses her lips together. She bites her nails. The sun sets behind clouds on the horizon. Jess winces. She looks to the sun. The sky gets progressively darker. Jess looks out at the city. Daytime. Jess walks to the middle of a suburban street. She stops and looks at writing on her palm. She stands in front of a glass front door. Maureen opens it. Maureen waves her in.
Wow.
A man sits in a disability chair.
This is Matty.
Martin and JJ sit in the room.
My son.
No, I mean, wow. You've completely wowed me.
Jess.
What does that mean? Wow.
Like, wow. This is what you've been hiding in here.
Jess, enough.
Sorry.
I wasn't leaving him that night. There was...
Maureen, no one's accusing you of anything.
Social services would have been forced to pay for proper care. I mean, the standard of care they can provide, it's better.
And I don't hide him. I've never hidden him, never.
Can we get back to the matter in hand?
Yeah, we're all here to figure out how to get them to leave us all alone. Okay, I had three of them call my cell today. How'd they even get my number?
Yeah, how did Chaz even remember you?
It's Chaz behind this?
Yeah, I mean, you're quite cute, but you're infinitely forgettable.
They won't.
JJ flips off Jess.
Leave us alone. You'll find out where you live, where Maureen lives.
Well, they'll be here.
So, I've been thinking, what if we shift the goalposts?
Goalposts?
Yeah, make it our story, not theirs. I mean, there's even the possibility that we might be able to make some money out of it.
Money?
Yeah, money. That would be good for Maddie, wouldn't it? I'm sure JJ would like a break from Peter's, and as an unemployed, disgraced talk show host, I could certainly do with it.
Well, I don't want Matty in the papers.
We can't stop that. But at least this way, we won't lose out entirely. By telling our story...
What story? Okay, we went up, then we came back down again.
They've sold newspapers off our backs. Isn't it time we got something out of it?
Maureen looks at Maddie, who watches TV.
Yes, okay.
Good. Great. Yep. What?
Yeah, I mean, if you think it's right, Martin, yeah, I mean, I'm in.
I mean, I'm fine financially, because, you know, I've got my dad to nick from.
Oh.
But if we were to make the story a fun one...
She grins and raises her brows. In a studio, photographers line the group up. An interviewer records them individually.
Let me tell you a story.
We were up there.
Martin eats pretzels.
And we were ready to go. And we felt this presence.
I would describe it as a light.
Hey, ethereal, glowing.
It was an angel. We were visited by an angel, and it looked like Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Oh, fuck it. Yeah, I'm with her. You look like Matt Damon.
Who's Matt Damon?
No, it wasn't really a physical angel. It was more of a, is that what Jess told you? What else did she say?
And he was naked. And he said, he literally decreed, thou shalt not die tonight. I mean, this is Matt Damon, the naked angel.
What?
Maybe we shouldn't write all of this down. Can I talk to your editor? Used to be a good mate of mine.
An actor? What films has he been in?
You're not actually going to print this, are you?
Yeah, no, that's how it went.
At Jess's, she eats dinner with her parents.
I had an interesting thing happen today.
Did you? Let me guess. Your second daughter humiliated you on the pages of the national press.
Actually, no. I was in the members' bar.
And somebody came up to you and they said, Chris, was that your daughter on the pages of the national press?
People have laughed at me for a long time but I did prefer it when they didn't laugh at you.
Jess smirks.
An angel. You told them you saw an angel.
Chris.
And did it look like Jennifer? Is that what you were going to say?
Jess freezes. She looks at her mother.
No. No, Dad, I didn't tell them it looked like Jennifer.
Chris stares at her. Jess's eyes fill with tears.
I told them that it looked like Matt Damon.
A clean-cut blonde woman looks into a camera. Her face lights up.
Many of us have been transfixed by the story of the Topper House Four and the angel that visited them. And we are so lucky here on Rise and Shine with Penny to have them with us in the studio today. One of them certainly needs no introduction. Martin. Martin Sharp, my old co-host.
Penny, it's an honor to be back on this old sofa again with you. And I'd really like to take this opportunity to correct a few misconceptions about this so-called angel we saw on the roof.
We will absolutely have time for that, Martin, but it would be remiss of me not to begin the interview with a bit of background on what's been happening to you in the last 12 months.
She smiles politely. Martin falters.
Yes, well, Penny, currently I'm juggling various job opportunities, concentrating on being a father, and before that I was in prison. But what we'd actually like to talk to you about is what we allegedly saw on the roof.
And, of course, the reason that you were in prison was for an inappropriate relationship with an underage girl.
She grits her teeth and raises her brows.
That's right, Penny.
And this incident, this sex offence, led you to lose your job, your home, your family, and finally drove you to suicidal feelings.
That's right, Penny.
Which is, of course, where he met you lovely people.
Yeah, we all met up there.
And where you saw your angel that looked like Matt Damon. Tell me more.
Hi, sorry. It wasn't an angel. No, it was more of a light. We never agreed on an angel.
Now, Jess.
I really talked to the other people before you...
We know you mostly through your father, Shadow Education Secretary Chris Crichton.
You should probably talk to JJ because he is really interesting.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure you're all fascinating. But, Jess, our sympathies lie particularly with you because of the devastating disappearance of your sister Jennifer.
You should talk to Maureen. Her son lives in a cage.
But, Jess, let's focus on you. It's okay.
Jess fidgets.
Were you close?
Penny, why don't you ask someone else a question?
My old co-host still trying to co-host me there. Jess, tell me, was that what drove you up there? Jennifer's disappearance, it must have been so painful.
Jess tears up.
I can see you're getting upset. You must have felt so alone.
I said, talk to Maureen, bitch.
Many apologies, as you can see.
When you fucking listen to me, I told you to fucking listen to me!
Jess, come back!
She runs off stage. Outside, she walks with her makeup streaked. She wipes her eyes and crosses a street. She looks over her shoulder and ducks around a corner. JJ runs up behind her.
It's you.
Hey. I was just checking to see if you're okay.
Yeah. Never better, champ.
She continues walking. He follows.
Is that right?
She locks her jaw.
You gonna keep following me?
You know where you're going?
Yeah. You know where I'm going where I always go.
Yeah?
She glances at him.
Can you walk beside me, not behind me, because my arse isn't my best feature?
Yeah, you mentioned that.
He walks beside her and puts a hand on her shoulder.
This is where she parked it.
Parked what?
Mum's car. My car. But it was going to be my car when Jen went to university.
They look out at an alley.
Found the car. Didn't find her. You know, just gone. Perhaps she learned how to be invisible.
Must be tough.
My dad organised this nationwide search. He really, really got into it, you know. And Mum, from the beginning, just gave up hope.
Jess looks down and shrugs.
Anyway, at least I don't have cancer.
Yeah.
JJ leans against a wall.
Yeah.
You don't have cancer, do you?
What?
She looks at him.
I can see it. I can tell.
If I look healthy, it's because of the drug regimen I'm on right
Never
now.
Never seen you take a single pill.
Well, the drug regimen is pretty minimal.
JJ, I'm a professional liar. You're not even a competent one.
JJ rubs his face.
just came out. You know, and once it came out, I couldn't take it back, so,
He stands across from her.
You were gonna jump, weren't you? You weren't just delivering pizzas and then you got too polite.
Yeah,
and...
no, I was gonna jump, yeah.
Why? It's a simple enough question, JJ. You're a paedophile! Like Martin! What are the chances of that? Four suicidalists, one roof, two of them paedophiles. That's practically a convention.
Look, I know I shouldn't have lied. It's just cancer seemed easier.
You're a strange guy, JJ. Fuck it, I'm a stranger. I like coming and hanging out at the place my sister disappeared.
JJ leans on the wall beside her. He looks up at birds flying above.
Look.
What?
Swifts. You know my favorite thing about swifts? They nest on the wing. They're born and then they're fed. And the moment they leave the birthplace, they don't come down for 2 years until they're ready to create other baby swifts.
Oh my gosh.
Jess grins at him.
You're a bird watcher. That's why you wanted to kill yourself. No, I understand now.
Yeah? Good.
JJ looks up at the Swifts. Jess rests her head on his shoulder. He rests his cheek on her. On JJ's bare back, a feather tattoo.
One elephant. Two elephants. Three elephants.
A handwritten JJ appears.
Four elephants. One elephant. Two elephants. Three elephants.
He jerks up.
My first band was called Geppetto. We were a grunge band after grunge had long been forgotten. Timing has never been my strong suit.
He packs a bag.
We came third in the Idaho State Battle of the Bands. We got our pictures in the paper, and I was recognized in the mall.
He crawls out a window.
For me, that was fame. But fame like this, at the Topper House 4.
Suicide again, then, is it?
A neighbor watches.
Hi, Gladys.
There's press still about.
Yeah.
He drops down from the ledge and puts his bag on his back. He carries a bicycle downstairs. He rides through an indoor market. In a shop, their interview plays.
In a mere 3 weeks, we'd not only not died, but we'd been on the front pages of all the tabloids and led many people to believe again in the existence of angels. Or at least Jess had. We even had questions asked about us in Parliament. Though that might have been just to embarrass Jess's dad. It was Martin who suggested getting away. He said we'd be like Butch and Sundance. Jess reminded him that didn't work out so well for them. But it seemed like a good idea. Get away and hope that by the time we got back, we'd be forgotten and the world would be a kinder place to us and for us. I wish I had thought life a better option than death, but I didn't. And wishing wasn't going to fix it. To quote one of Geppetto's songs, I don't mind the pain. It's the hope that kills me. Yeah, we were pretty deep.
Okay, five of us punches one of the others before the end of the holiday.
Punches?
Like kicks or slaps or tickles. One of us will use physical violence against one of the others before the week's out.
Okay.
This holiday is going to be a disaster.
Oh, I hope so.
So, who's looking after Maddie, Maureen?
No one. She's just left some food in the fridge and some wet wipes by the bed.
I'm sure the break would do you both a world of good.
Yeah, that's what Dr. Stevens said. Yeah. He's taking him for a week's observation.
Your boarding pass,
Matt. Go ahead.
Your boarding pass, with your flight details on it. You were handed it at check-in?
This?
And your passport.
The flight attendant looks at the passport, then at Maureen's panic face. He gestures her through the boarding gate.
There you go.
Gripping her ticket, Maureen shuffles to the gate, eyes darting. She scuttles in the opposite direction.
Thank you very much. Maureen.
No, sorry, you can't go backwards.
Stop. Please stop, Maureen. Please stop. It's just a trip. That's all. Just a trip till all this press nonsense blows over. It's for the best.
It's just all too much. I mean, I don't know you, and I don't travel well, and I've never been on a plane before.
You've never been on a plane before?
Shut up, Jess. Maureen, if you're afraid of flying, I've got these tablets.
I'm not afraid of flying. It's just, I didn't want to be in the papers, and I didn't want to be on TV, and I don't want to be here now. I just want to go back to my old life, okay?
Your old life wasn't very good, Maureen. Look, we made a pact.
This is the final call. That's the final call for flight 0432 to Tenerife.
They gently guide her to the gate.
Come on.
This isn't sometime. Yeah, it's for always.
Jess rests her head on Maureen's shoulder. At a beach, Martin leads the way down a boardwalk. Maureen walks behind him. Jess runs behind JJ and hops with her hands on his shoulders. JJ twirls and walks behind Jess with his hands on her hips. She dances forward. Martin points at the ocean below. Maureen looks down. At a beachside restaurant, the group clinks glasses.
To a holiday.
Good night.
Good afternoon. My name is Angelo, and I will be your waiter. Well, sometimes I will. Other times I will be theirs. It's just a joke. Real, but a joke.
Hello, Angelo.
So, you're from England. How nice.
Yeah, you knew that, Angelo. You just talked English to us.
I did. You're always this clever, your husband.
He is not her husband.
Let me guess. You're a lovers, right?
What? Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, we are right here.
No, no.
We are.
I bring Vaseline and Maureen always brings a dildo.
You know, someone told me a joke about Vaseline once. I can't entirely remember it.
Well, Maureen, you must keep drinking until you remember.
Yeah.
We're happy.
No? Me too. Good.
JJ catches eyes with a dark-haired woman. She smiles at him. At the shore, Maureen faces the water. She closes her eyes against the sunshine. The group walks toward her.
Oh, the sun is so fierce. The sea is so sparkly and blue.
Oh, Maureen, tell me that you've seen the sea before.
Yes, I've seen the sea before.
Oh, are we going in?
No.
Of course we are.
No, we're not in our swimming costumes.
Oh, underwear will be fine.
They peel off their clothes. They rush Maureen into the water in her dress. They splash at each other. JJ jumps on Martin. Martin pulls him underwater. JJ hops on Martin's shoulders. The women splash at him. The four hold each other and spin in the water. Later, Martin drinks on a balcony in a robe. JJ joins him on an adjoining balcony.
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Ah. Maureen just called me up on the hotel phone. Surprised to have her own bathroom. She thinks this place is the height of luxury.
Yeah, it is kind of cool, huh?
Cheapest place I've stayed in for 20 years.
Yeah?
Doesn't feel strange, does it? Us being away together?
No, it feels good.
I thought I knew what I was doing with the press. And then...
And then what?
And Jess melted down and...
No. Then I realized I got it all wrong. I thought people would like it. I thought we'd make money and people would find it eccentric and heartwarming.
Heartwarming.
Four people survive suicide, find hope, blah, 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 you know. I mean, it's the kind of good news story that the press love. However, I underestimated how much they hate me.
It's not just about you, Martin.
You know, I envy you. You, your cancer. I mean, it's so cut and dry. No, really. Really, Jojo, I am so impressed with you. I mean, you hardly let it faze you. And that is something to drink to. Here you go.
He hands JJ a small bottle.
Put hairs on your chest.
JJ looks down, his face solemn.
Your health.
He looks up as Martin chugs his drink.
Do you know what I feel when I wake up in the mornings? Humiliated. Do you know what I feel at lunchtime? Humiliated. My life is a constant stream of humiliation. I don't feel sad. I don't feel angry. I just feel...
He screws up his face.
Humiliated. Yeah. To humiliation.
He drinks more. Later, at dinner...
Okay, God gives you three wishes.
Oh, God is not a tombola machine, Martin. He doesn't just give wishes.
Three wishes. Anything you want.
That's easy. Okay, billions of pounds and my own personal hitman.
Okay.
And a court waiver over anything I want to do.
Martin waves to Maureen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd want a bit more help. A bit more of a life.
What's a bit more of a life?
Just what other people have.
What do other people have?
And I'd wish my son all better. That's why I don't do wishes.
JJ pats Maureen's hand.
I'd want to be famous again. The right kind of famous. I mean, being famous is great. Everyone thinks it's difficult, but it's not. I mean, you get to have the best seats in restaurants. People smile at you on planes. It's great. And whatever you do, you feel vindicated by your own fame. And you never, ever feel humiliated.
He looks at JJ.
Well, certainly better than real life anyway.
Wow. You're so deep.
No, I'm just honest.
Martin,
what? You're nothing if you're not noticed.
Okay, fame or your kids?
Martin, you don't mean that.
Don't I?
Okay, this is a bad game.
JJ looks to the bar. The woman with dark hair drinks alone. Jess notices.
Okay. I wonder what JJ would choose. This is three wishes. Because obviously you'd want to cure your cancer for start.
JJ stands.
No, I'm going to go use the restroom.
Then you'd probably want loads of money so that you could donate it to cancer research.
You know, other people are allowed to be in pain. You know that, Jess?
He glares and walks away. Angelo approaches the table.
Hey, mis amigos ingleses. How are we doing tonight?
It's just...
Peachy, Angelo. Peachy.
Great. Keep drinking.
JJ sits alone at another table. He rubs his face. The dark-haired woman comes over.
You're sitting in my seat.
What?
I'd find another seat, but you're also sitting on my shawl.
Oh, shit, sorry.
He stands and moves the shawl. He sits back down, facing away from her.
You know, I think I recognize you from somewhere.
Yeah, there's this thing. It may have been in the papers a bit recently, so...
No, that's not it.
She drinks. JJ looks away.
Are you in a band?
JJ whips around.
What?
Yeah. You supported Old J?
Yeah.
Manchester Towers?
2 years ago. It was the first time we came to Britain.
You're the front man, right?
Yeah.
I remember loving your lyrics.
Really? Yeah, wow. You know, I wrote those. Adolescent shit, mostly.
Are you still serious about it?
I was, now not so.
What's your name?
JJ.
Which stands for?
John. Julius.
Hi, John and Julius. I'm Kathy.
Hello, Kathy.
They shake hands.
Wow.
At first I was afraid.
JJ and Kathy dance amongst a group.
I could never live without you by
this is
my side.
So I love it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Who's that?
That is my uncle.
Ah, I think I recognize him.
Yeah, he's vaguely famous.
Ah, failed musician with a vaguely famous uncle. I am a lucky girl.
I enjoy all the time.
Martin walks away from Jess. She sits at the bar and watches JJ and Kathy.
Just 1 second, you've been back to bother me.
Jess walks away past Martin, pulling Maureen out of her seat. Jess watches them go to the dance floor. She walks through the dancers, looking at JJ as she passes. Martin dances wildly with Maureen. JJ and Kathy walk down the boardwalk.
So, you're out here on your own?
Mm-hmm. Other people just crowd it and make it about themselves. So you're here with family, your uncle?
Yeah, a bit of family. Friends, sort of.
But you don't like them? I mean, you ran away from them at the bar.
No, it's just it can be a little intense, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you don't like intense?
Well, no. Yeah, I can't really talk because I'm intense.
Good. Because if you're looking for a neurosis-free girl, you're bang out of luck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I once set fire to my hair just to see what would happen. I was 10, and it didn't improve my look.
Oh, well, that's nothing. When I was a kid, I jumped off our roof just to see if I could hurt myself. And, yeah, I broke my leg, and I kind of liked it.
Okay, well, how's this for psycho? I carved my ex-boyfriend's initials into my left inner thigh as a way of telling him that no one else would ever see that. Beat that.
Easy. I recently told some people that I had cancer to avoid telling them the real reason I had for attempting suicide.
That is intense. What was the real reason?
I don't know. I do know that I am now a part of a pact that I had to lie to become a member. Just a bunch of desperate people being desperate together as a way of feeling a little less desperate.
Okay, you win the psycho game.
Good, good. I always wanted to win that game.
They enter JJ's room. JJ turns on the light. Kathy turns it off. She kisses him. She peels off his jacket and kisses his neck.
I haven't done this for a while, so...
Later, they sleep naked in bed, covered only by a sheet. Kathy's hand rests on JJ's chest. He jerks awake. JJ sits up and looks at Kathy. He gently brushes down her arm. He enters the bathroom and goes to the toilet, not noticing Jess sitting in the tub.
Okay, now I'm going to say something.
Oh, fuck.
Because if I wait and say nothing and then you spot me after you've pissed, I think that would probably be worse.
Wait, how did you...
Just took a credit card and a bit of spit, you know. Hotel security is not what it should be.
How long have you been there?
She grimaces, then presses her lips together.
I just really wanted to apologize for earlier because I don't know why I said that. And then I was probably going to try and shag you.
JJ raises his brows.
She's really pretty, though. So well done.
Hey.
You don't have to say anything. You can take that one as a compliment. Then I'll just... leave quietly.
She stands.
Hey, Jess.
No, I really would prefer it if you didn't say anything.
She makes to leave, then stops.
You do know she's a journalist, though, right?
What?
Look in her bag. Because I saw her check her recorder in the bar. Still, she fucked you, though, right?
He rubs his face.
So at least she's thorough.
Jess's smile fades. She leaves.
Hey.
JJ leans against the wall. Now dressed, he walks into the dark hotel hall, holding a recorder.
What packed?
Just a bunch of desperate people being desperate together in a way of feeling a little less desperate.
Shadows settle on the place that you left.
He walks out to the beach shore with his hands in his pockets.
By the emptiness. Destroy the middle, it's a waste of time.
He stares at the crashing waves, then looks at the recorder. He reels back and hurls it into the water.
Stop breathing, you're the lucky one.
He raises his hands to his temples.
Most of us are heaving through corrupted lungs, setting fire to our insides for fun.
Breathing heavily, he strides into the water.
Lovers that went wrong. Lovers that went wrong.
He dives in, swimming furiously. He swims further and further out. He stops and runs his hand through his hair.
Reckless, we are the wild youth, chasing visions of our futures.
He looks around from the middle of the water, dwarfed by the surrounding sea. In a restaurant, two children stick their fingers in a chocolate fountain, gleefully eating. Martin watches from a buffet line. Maureen joins him.
I think it's sweet.
I think it's unsanitary.
No, any part of you thinks that. The other part thinks it's sweet.
Huh.
Why are you waiting here?
I'm waiting for them to finish this tray of scrambled egg and bring in a new tray.
But the scrambled egg's never fresh, Martin. I mean, I might not have been on a lot of holidays, but I've been in a lot of hospitals, and I understand institutional catering.
Who are all these people? And why do they eat so much?
They're having a good time, that's all. Martin?
Hmm?
Thank you for arranging this holiday. I think it's been good for me.
You really don't understand what a disaster we all are, do you?
Come on. Let's get you some breakfast.
Yeah. Good idea. Good idea.
The prunes are very good.
Don't like prunes.
JJ walks to the glass restaurant doors and looks in. He drums his hands on the handle.
Oh.
He walks in and heads to Martin, Maureen, and Jess's table. Jess looks up.
Hi.
Oh, morning, JJ. I may have said some stupid things last night. Drink has never been my friend. Sorry, Mother.
So, I got a few things to say, and I don't think you're going to like any of them.
Are you going back to America?
Yeah, I'm going to start with the biggest. I don't have cancer of the brain. I don't have CCR.
Oh, they've cured you.
No. Maureen, I never had it. I made it all up.
Oh.
There's actually no such thing as CCR. It's just Creedence Clearwater Revival are one of my favorite bands, but...
Oh, I wasn't going to say anything.
Do you know about this?
You know, I thought there was something strange.
So, why? Why, JJ, were you up there?
He can't answer that. That's personal.
I'm sure he had good reason.
Oh, did he? JJ, did you?
Kathy walks in. She smiles at him.
Guys, actually, I need to postpone this conversation.
Martin stands.
We had a pact. I trusted you. I liked you.
Hey, Martin, please, just sit down. We'll talk about this another time.
Another time? I mean, what time would you like?
How are you?
Oh, right, great. We'll stop for your girlfriend, do we?
She's not my girlfriend, okay? She's a journalist.
What?
Look, I didn't know.
You don't know much, do you?
Well, if he didn't know, he didn't know. I mean, we've had bad things written about us before.
Look, I understand that you are angry, but please, Martin, I'm feeling pretty humiliated.
Oh, you don't understand anything. You certainly don't understand humiliation.
Martin, you're being dramatic.
You're a fake. You're a fraud.
Martin shoves JJ.
John, this is... Who the fuck is John?
I'm John. And you know what? I'm not a fraud.
Stop it. Remember the past.
Fuck the past.
Jess lunges at Kathy. Martin and JJ punch each other. Kathy pushes Jess onto Maureen, who cowers and scrunches up her face. On an airport walkway, Maureen stands amongst a line of people. Further down, Martin eats. He has a black eye. Further from him, JJ also has a black eye. He taps the walkway banister. Behind him, Jess leans on the banister. She looks away, with both eyes bruised. In a warm room, Maureen's feet touch the floor. A handwritten Maureen appears. She slips on a pair of slippers and drinks from a mug. She straightens her bed and sets down the mug. In Maddie's room, she pulls open curtains, letting in a small amount of light. She goes to Maddie, lying on the bed. She puts her hand on his forehead. He jerks.
Good morning, sunshine. Hello, sweetheart. We're not sleepy yet. How are you?
She smiles and wipes his face.
All right, here we go.
Not having Massie with me on the holiday, it felt like I was missing a leg.
She rolls him onto a couch.
Strange. Light. That's probably not like missing a leg at all. I don't imagine most people's first impressions of leg loss is weightlessness.
She straps Maddie into an electric hoist and lifts him to a sitting position. She positions him in the living room. Later, she watches TV beside him.
I missed him most when the plane was landing. We shook a little on descent. I thought I was going to die. And I hadn't said goodbye.
She looks at Maddie, who gazes off beyond the TV. Her face falls. She leans over him in bed and kisses his forehead. She looks out the window and draws the blinds closed.
JJ's girlfriend's piece meant the story, our story, didn't die. But Martin said to concentrate on being boring and they'd eventually leave us alone. So that's what I did. Not difficult. And as for the others, as soon as we landed, we scattered in different directions like we were allergic to each other. The pact was broken beyond repair. And without the pact, our friendship was broken too.
She walks Manny down a road.
I still saw them, patchily, every now and again.
In a church, she passes Jess in a pew.
I saw Jess in places she shouldn't be. And I did make a little effort to find JJ.
She looks in a pizza shop.
Just to check he was okay.
JJ works behind the counter. His boss yells at him. JJ rubs his face.
I never saw Martin.
As Maureen walks with Maddie, Martin passes in his car.
No, mostly I got on with my life. And hoped they got on with theirs.
She watches a physical therapist guide Maddie in a pool. A bespectacled man approaches. Maureen smiles and stands.
Matty did really well. We did some interesting reflex work.
Nice to have him properly looked after for once.
He reacted well to company.
I'm sure he'd love to change from my blather. You
know, we couldn't get him out of this pool.
He's always loved water.
You know, there might be a slot for him to come to one of my weekly sessions if you'd like it.
Oh, I'm sure he'd love it.
I'll add him to the list. You know, you look like you caught a bit of colour.
Do I?
You know, from the pictures in the papers, it looked like you picked a very nice spot.
Maureen rubs her neck.
Yes. Well.
He smiles at her. Wearing blue plastic over her shoes, Maureen walks Maddie to the door of the facility. She looks at a bulletin board. On it, a poster for a patient and staff quiz night. She takes a slip. She smiles and puts it in her purse. A nurse passes. Maureen pulls the plastic off her shoes. She looks at the bulletin board again and leaves. In Maddie's room, she draws Maddie's curtains closed and pulls his covers over him.
Injury, marigolds, you and your arithmetic, you'll probably go two and two are four, four and four are eight. 8 and 8, 16, 16, 16, 32.
Sitting beside his bed, she holds his hand asleep. She stirs and looks at Maddie. She pulls his covers up and leaves the room. Maddie lies unmoving. She bursts back in and holds Maddie's head.
Maddie?
Drool dribbles from his mouth.
Maddie?
She puts her ear to his chest.
No.
She tilts his head back. She pulls out her phone.
Maddie?
With both hands, she presses on his chest. A paramedic pushes Maddie on a gurney. Maureen jogs alongside them, her face distraught. A nurse pulls her back. Doors close behind Maddie and the paramedic. Maureen watches. Outside, snow falls lightly. Maureen paces in a hall lined with windows. She sits on a waiting room chair, staring ahead. Martin walks up to her and places his hand on her shoulder.
Hey, Maureen.
Oh.
She stands and hugs him. He holds her awkwardly, then closes his eyes. Jess and Chris approach.
too.
Yeah, nothing on TV. This is my dad. He drove me. Probably say something very moving.
I'm sorry to hear about your son, Maureen.
Oh, it's not one of his best attempts, is it?
Oh, I'm really grateful you're all here.
Of course we're here.
In the hospital cafeteria, Jess brings them drinks.
This isn't tea.
No, I know, it's hot chocolate.
I asked for tea.
Yeah, well, I was buying it. I don't like the smell of tea.
So when you buy rounds in pubs...
Pink gins. Then you never have to buy a round ever again. It's clever, right? Hmm? Is JJ still not here, then?
I couldn't get through to him. Just probably not picked up his messages.
Yeah, it's like that. He doesn't really care. It's one or the other.
I genuinely don't know how you've survived that.
Earplugs.
I'm going to make you go and sit in the car in a minute.
Earplugs and pink gin.
He wasn't the reason I was up there, Matty. He wasn't.
They stare at her.
No.
There were lots of reasons I was up on that roof, but... You once asked me why, Jess. And I said I felt helpless. But the truth is, I'd not done a list for living and a list for... Yeah, it was a feeling, not a thought. But not one of those reasons. One said I didn't love my son. Not one of them, not one.
Jess glances at Martin. She puts her hand on Maureen's arm.
Maureen, we know that.
Face contorted, Maureen nods. The bespectacled man approaches, wearing scrubs. Maureen stands.
No.
He's fine, Maureen. He's fine.
What?
We're going to keep monitoring him, but he's no longer critical. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine?
No, he'll be fine.
Okay.
In Maddie's ward.
Now, the tubes look worse than they are. And we'll remove some tonight, and the rest hopefully will be up tomorrow.
Oh, I should have seen it coming. If it had proper care, then...
Maureen, you saved him. It was a myocardial infarction.
Maureen sits beside Maddie.
And he had a heart attack of sorts. His symptoms were almost invisible. I didn't notice it. I was monitoring it, and I didn't... But you caught it. You saved his life.
Maureen gazes at Maddie. She wipes his open mouth.
Matt is a very lucky boy to have you.
I only had one thought. When he... If he dies, I die.
Well, he lived.
Martin, Jess, and Chris watch from outside. Chris grabs Jess's hand.
And maybe he feels the same way about you as you do about him.
Jess looks down at their hands.
Have you ever considered that?
The man walks over to the group. Maureen looks down at Maddie. Martin, Jess, and Chris walk down a hall. A man holds balloons labeled Happy Valentine's Day.
It's Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Martin?
Yeah.
Today is Valentine's Day.
Good.
Martin?
Yeah.
Rex TV's completely messed up your brain, hasn't it? Come on.
Oh, JJ, the pact.
Get Maureen. I'm going to find JJ now.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Martin runs back down the hall. The city is hazy with snow. Chris and Jess pull up to a market. Jess rushes out of the car. She kisses Chris on the cheek and runs in. He follows behind. She bursts into the pizza shop.
Have you seen JJ?
JJ is gone.
Gone?
Yeah, he's a prick. He left over a week ago. Didn't even serve notice.
That prick you're talking about, Paolo, happens to be my daughter's friend. And you'd do well to remember that.
Paolo nods and puts down his tools. He walks around the counter and faces Chris.
You are called Paolo, aren't you? Just that it says Paolo's place outside, and you certainly sound Italian. You look Italian and love your tats.
Come on, Dad.
They rush out of the shop. Maureen goes to a call box outside of JJ's apartment and presses a button.
Hello?
Oh, yes. Hi. Hello. I'm looking for JJ.
Hello?
John Julius?
Gladys leads Maureen inside JJ's apartment. They look around. Maureen spots a collage on the wall. She approaches. The wall is full of newspaper clippings.
Oh, JJ.
Headlines: Banker Death Leaps Shocker. Angel Deserts Topper Tower. As Another Dies, Banker Death Leap. Martin parks his car on a snowy street. He gets out and looks up. The building he stood on New Year's Eve looms up, the top obscured by the snowy haze. He runs into the building. He reaches the top of the stairs and slows. He stares at the doorway. He continues. The door is ajar. He looks down. The door lock lies broken on the ground. Footprints lead away from the door. He pushes the door open further. The footprints lead to JJ, shivering on the edge of the roof. Martin slowly steps closer.
I hoped you wouldn't be up here.
You know, three people have killed themselves from this building. Between New Year's and today. Sue Tomlin, housewife, and manic depressive. David Frommet, banker who lost everything, and Ben Peterson. He was only 15.
So you're going to join him?
I kept to the pact, Martin. Okay, this, me. It's none of your business now.
True. Why, though, JJ? Why are you up here?
That's the thing. Martin, I didn't lie to you. I don't know.
You don't know.
That makes my reason better than any of yours.
I wasn't aware that this was a competition.
See, all Jess needs is to feel important. Maureen, she needs to feel loved. And you just need to grow a brain.
Fair enough.
Martin walks closer.
So you can solve your problems. But me, I can't. Just Martin, stop. Martin, just stop walking three steps and I'm gone. Just
Maureen walks out.
Oh, God. Look, I'm just tired of being scared all the time, not knowing why. I'm tired of being trying to change and not knowing how. You know, leaving my latest shit band, moving countries. Because however much I do change, I'm left with me.
He cries. Martin looks down.
Sounds like you got it all worked out, JJ. It's logical. The reason why you want to die is because you don't want to live. It's as simple as that, right? I used to think like that, too.
JJ!
Jess runs out.
And then there were four.
Don't you get it? I mean, we made it. All right, we all made it to Valentine's Day and nothing. Okay, nothing, absolutely nothing has changed.
But everything has changed.
What?
Everything.
We are standing in entirely different positions, for one thing.
I didn't ever want to be up here again, JJ. I'm pretty sure none of us did.
He's right. You know, it's shit up here.
I think we still matter to you, JJ. I mean, why else would you pick Valentine's Day? You may think you want to die, but you knew we'd look for you.
We're not up here because we want to die. We're here for you. The top of House 4. We belong together. We're a team. I mean, we're the worst team the world has ever known, and if I was picking, I mean, none of you would have made it onto the subs bench, but still, we're a team.
JJ closes his eyes.
I know. It's not much, son. But maybe we're a start.
JJ looks at them. Maureen's eyebrows knit together. Jess smiles softly. JJ looks down to the city.
You can't even see the bottom.
The ground below is blanched by the frozen fog. The scene fades to white. A hand shakes a snow globe. Words appear. 320 days later, New Year's Eve. Martin opens a video chat on a laptop.
Hello? Hello? Can anybody hear me?
We can hear you and see you, Martin.
Bonsoir, Martin.
Where's the button for this? Oh, hiya.
Maureen, is that glitter on your face?
No. Yes.
Matty seems to like glitter,
and we're having a kind of, New Year's Eve party.
Maureen, you rager!
Yes, please. Trying to keep the noise down out here, okay?
Shh.
It was Dr. Stevens, Robert's idea.
Actually, yeah, he's been hugely helpful. In return for me
joining his quiz team, which has caused much controversy because I was supposed to join another quiz team, and it's kind of complicated.
Sounds complicated.
I saw your dad got promoted, Jess.
Okay, we must have better news than that. Come on, somebody say something. Martin, why don't you stoke up this party? Why don't you tell us about some of your most recent bedtime conquests?
Well, I'm often asleep by 10, on my own, exhausted. Are children famous for getting you up early in the morning? I had no idea.
God, when we all turn into a little house on the fucking prairie?
Oh, I've missed you. Ooh.
You know, I got something to say. My therapist...
Therapist? There we go, that's some news. Did you all know JJ's now officially mad?
Jess, you see a therapist too.
Yeah, of course, but all the best people are mad, in my opinion.
My therapist told me a story, true story, about this guy who survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
It's an anecdote, it's not strictly news.
The moment he jumped, he realized that the only thing in his life he couldn't fix was the thing he'd just done.
I mean, can you imagine
those 5 seconds as he fell?
The agony of that. Well, to me,
it feels like I fell without falling. Because of you guys. I had my 5 seconds up on that roof and not in the air.
Hmm. 5 seconds. No, we each gave each other 5 seconds. I like that, JJ.
And then 5 seconds turned into a year. Into a life sentence.
You people make me want to kill myself. Dad.
Maureen, you coming?
No, I'm just talking to my friends, so...
It's almost midnight and we're doing the Lambada. Come on.
Maureen! Okay. Okay, what just happened? Did Maureen just make us look like we're the square ones?
Remember, you're the one who accused her of having too many cats.
Time to sign off.
Happy New Year, Jess.
Happy New Year, Martin. Happy New Year, Jess.
Happy New Year, John Julius.
JJ closes his laptop to reveal Jess laying in front of him on her own laptop. They smile at each other.
We could go to a party, you know, in case you were worried about being upstaged by Maureen.
Well, that's just the problem, though, isn't it? I don't really want to go to a party. I think you've broken me.
JJ grins.
Don't smile.
No.
I will kill you.
No, I know.
If you smile.
He kisses her. Martin leans over a sleeping child. He brushes her cheek.
Come on. Up to bed, sleepyhead. There you go. Good.
He picks her up from the couch.
There you go. Oh, yes. There you go.
Is it midnight yet?
Yes. It is. You made it. Another new year.
Martin carries her away. Fade to black. Credits roll. Opening credits. DCM Productions and BBC Films present A Wild Gaze Films Finola Dwyer production in association with Hanway Films. A film by Pascal Chamet, Pierce Brosnan, Tony Collette, Aaron Paul, Imogen Poots, Rosamund Pike, Tupence Middleton, and Sam Neill. Casting by Nina Gold. Line producer Caroline Levy. Music supervisor Clay Savage. Makeup and hair design Jan Sewell. Costume designer Odell Dix Miro. Music by Dario Marianelli. Edited by Barney Piling, Chris Gill, ACE. Production designer Chris Adi. Director of Photography, Ben Davis, BSC. Executive Producer, Kristen Langan. Executive Producers, Dario Sutter, Christoph Daniel, Mark Schmidheine. Executive Producers, Torsten Schumacher, Zygi Kamasa, Nick Hornby. Credits continue. Audio description created by Zoo Digital, written by Jessica Korn, and narrated by Sophia Cruz.
She said